Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Everything turns. There is a season turn.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.jbsba.com, and that's the place where you can go and find out how to listen to the show in archive form. We've got over 3,000 archives. And or replay, you can hear today's show all together, all at once, over and over again if you want. If you can't get enough of my voice, you can do that at our website. You can read articles by members of our Brain Trust and me, probably over 1,000 of those by now, and lots of other things, including finding out more about our good friend and our guest this half hour, John Deany. John is the president of Management Performance Network. He's the author of 103 Tips for Better Hiring, and he's the top alternative board franchisee in the nation. He's our good friend. John, welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot, Jim. It's always great to come back.
It's good to have you back, as always. Did I say that correctly about the alternative board? You are the number one franchisee in the nation, aren't you?
Yes, at the moment. There's some other guys with great teams that are chomping at the bit. And
so you guys are like Tiger
at our heels. But
you guys are like Tiger and VJ's back and forth every week?
Well, we're not back and forth yet. They haven't caught up that much.
They haven't caught up that much. We'll keep working on that. John, one of the things I know you want to talk about today is something that, you know, I remember a mentor of mine once said, you know, don't forget no good deed goes unpunished. And, you know, one of the things you want to talk about today is if you make some kind of a gesture in your business to an employee, whether it be a dramatic one or not, you know, are you setting up some kind of an organizational gesture, I should say organizational precedent, if not a legal precedent? Now, tell us what gave rise to this line of thinking.
Well, as you know, when we run our tab boards, we hear a lot of what's going on in small companies. The owners sit in the boards and they tell us about what's on their mind and things that they haven't dealt with before. And not surprisingly, most small business owners haven't dealt with an employee that has a serious illness or family crisis that really destroys or at least greatly denigrates their ability to the employee's ability to do the job. And we've had a few situations in the last 60 or 90 days where, in one case, an employee's son got a serious disease, and in another case, a key employee got cancer, and it was terminal. And the owners have said, you know, I'm afraid of doing anything outside of my policy manual, and I certainly hope everyone has a policy manual, because I set a precedent, because it means I have to do things for other employees.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're counseling them on and coaching them on is that's not necessarily true. I mean, there's a reason you own a business. You want to make your own decisions. And all of us that own businesses like to have control over our environments and like to be able to do things. We all give money to charity.
Small business owners are some of the most benevolent of anybody in the marketplace.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They're very generous. In fact, John, and you may have heard me say this before, and I know you've seen this, when I talk to especially the successful small business owners, something that pops out in every conversation, and not by way of bragging, but just by way of talking about their business thinking, the way they think about what they do, is how much they give back to the community.
The community and their employees.
And their employees, exactly.
We all know. We're all very conscious. We all feel the weight on our shoulders of supporting not just our own family as if we had a job, but everybody is aware that they support other families. If you have even 5 employees, the odds are you're supporting 15 or 20 people who are dependent on the success of your business.
That's right, the decisions that you make.
On the table.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did a survey some years back of TAB members, and we said, what is the one thing you regret most in your business ownership career? 61% answered, I should have let an employee go long before I did.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of us keep people around. We hope we can fix them. We hope it'll work out. We hope they turn into something better.
We want to. Redemption is something we work hard at. We want to redeem them, don't we?
We do, and probably because so many of us are unemployable ourselves. We can empathize, you know. But, you know, in these cases, the owners had stepped up, given large amounts of time off, or allowed the company vehicle, which was not supposed to travel out of area, to go back and forth on weekends to a medical center hundreds of miles away, or sustained benefits, even though terminating the employee, you know what's happening with healthcare premiums.
Yeah.
Even though terminating the employee who wasn't able to do the job at the moment would have saved them huge amounts for their whole company because mm-hmm. of the risk factor that was being factored in.
But that wasn't the right. That wouldn't have been the right thing to do, would it?
No. And
it might have been the prudent thing to do from a management standpoint, and it might have been a smart legal thing to do, but it wasn't the right thing to do.
No, and they make ethical decisions about helping people who are in deep trouble. And they, unfortunately, with the specter of litigation hovering over our heads and the regulatory environment, they fear that doing the right thing will come back, as you said, that good deed will be punished because they worry about exposing themselves to other employees making lesser or even frivolous claims.
So the scenario might be that if you let an employee take the car and go out of the area and take time off and everybody kind of cover for them while they're going through this difficult time, and we all agree that that's the right thing to do, then a year later when somebody has something that they think is important but it's not really on the same impact, the same magnitude, that if they aren't extended the same kind of consideration, that they would come back and complain first and then maybe even take the company to court.
They could. That one was a good example. An employee came back and said, well, I've got a wedding, and it's 400 miles away, and I'd like to take the company car to the wedding.
Wow. Is that important to me. Did that really happen?
Yes.
Unbelievable. And they tried to compare that to the illness?
Well, yeah. After all, you've let Bob take the company car 15 or 20 times to go for treatments in the medical center.
Those are the kind of people that you fire when you get a chance.
Yeah.
When you get a chance. Stand by, John. They just don't get it, folks. And I hope those people never become small business owners. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with John Deeney.
And the land is dark, and the moon is the only light we'll see.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. No, I won't. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and John Deeney is our guest. John, give us your website, please.
Our website is tabsanantonio.com, and a national website where you can see whether there's a tab board near you or a facilitator near you is TABBoards with two B's, TABBoards.com.
And TAB stands for the Alternative Board, and tell us what that means.
Well, we take small business owners and put them together in groups of 8 to 10, small to mid-size. We have companies up to about 100 million, and put them together with peers, true peers, people that run businesses similar in size and complexity. And they meet for 4 hours once a month, and act as each other's board, hold each other accountable, give each other ideas, do sanity checks, see if what you're about to do with your company means you've lost your mind.
I really encourage you folks to find out if there's a TAB boards near you, and if there's not, you might want to try to start one. But it's a great thing because, you know, when people ask me, John, how I define a small business, One part of my definition, I won't go into all of them right now in the interest of time, but one of my definitions is they don't have a professional board of directors. You know, they have a board because the law requires that. It's the owner and his wife, or the wife, the owner and her husband, or and then, you know, maybe there's a VP or something who's part of the board. But basically, they don't really function as a board where you've got outside ideas, you got people looking at it from the outside and bringing in new perspectives from other parts of the marketplace. Without that, you really lose a lot, and that's the reason why I think the alternative board is a great idea, and it fills an important niche for management niche for small businesses. So I'm and you, how many you've got a dozen or so going at any one time, don't you?
We have 12 here in San Antonio. There are actually 200 facilitators around the country now, and some of them run multiple boards.
Right. So I encourage you to check that out, folks, at tabboards.com. If you want to see how the number one tab works, it's tabsanantonio.com. John, let's get back into our discussion about no good deed goes unpunished. If doing something good for an employee sets a legal or an organizational precedent, and I do think, John, prior to even worrying about the legal thing, you should think about whether it sets an organizational precedent. What about this? What about when you have a situation like this, John, where you got an employee who's got a tragedy, a difficult time in their family. Instead of you making that decision by yourself, what do you think about getting the other employees together, or at least some key people, and saying, okay, what do you think we ought to do about this? What do you think about that idea?
I think that's great if you have the people that you feel are responsible enough.
Yeah.
Of course, the danger of that is it becomes runaway. And the employees assume that they now work in a democracy. I've always told my employees I'm a benevolent dictator.
That's
but
right.
I am a dictator. But, you know, and the other thing to remember is if you're doing it because it's right, if you're doing it because you feel good about doing it, don't expect to be repaid in kind.
Right.
I can tell as many stories as I can tell about employers stepping up to help out employees, I can tell half that many about employees that showed no gratitude for
right.
it. That came back and walked in, you know, 2 weeks later and said, I can get 50 cents an hour more across the street.
Right. Yeah. No, that's you can count on that, folks. That will happen to you. But that still shouldn't, you still ought to do, if you think it's the right thing to do, you really ought to do it, shouldn't you?
Yes. And there's no law against making an exception. Your written policy is your written policy. That's what you fall back on. If somebody says, well, you let Bob, when his kid had leukemia, do such and such, the answer is yes, I made an exception. I didn't mm-hmm. write a new policy. We didn't sign off on a new handbook. I made an exception. And that's my right because as the owner, it came out of my pocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you shouldn't write anything like that down, should you?
No, not at all. I don't think it should be documented because then you're getting into, you know, a possible discovery situation. Let's face it, an employee can sue you for anything.
Right.
I mean, I had a friend who was an engineer once that was asked to do a survey of large buildings in Los Angeles to find out the ideal temperature. And what he found out was that at any temperature between 62 and 80 degrees, a minimum of 20% employees would say it was so uncomfortable they couldn't work. So, you know, there is no perfect solution, mm-hmm. and people can take you into court for anything.
Well, the other thing to think about is with regard to this employee that had the family situation, even if that employee, you know, may or may not show the kind of gratitude that you'd hope that they would, remember that you know there's a whole family involved there, and you know you're not only helping that employee, you're helping the other family members, and it's just the right thing to do, and it's the kind of thing that the small business owners do every day all across America. And it's one of the reasons, John, I'm so proud of them.
Absolutely. I had a consultant tell me a while back that if he ran a tab board, the first thing he came out of large corporations. And the first thing he would do was start instructing the business owners in the board that they couldn't just fire people willy-nilly because it would save them a buck. And
right.
I said, I'm sorry, you don't understand small business at all.
John, we got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Give us your website one more time.
TabSanAntonio.com for us and TabBoards.com for the national organization.
Thanks, John.
Sorry.
We'll see you next time.
Thanks.
Quick
a lot,
break.
Jim.
Right back with Andre Carter and Jonathan Zook after these messages. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.